Praise the Lord, saints. I do thank the Lord again, always being able to stand before his people. I don't know what I'm going through, but I'm treading on unfamiliar territories. I'm not familiar with what I'm going through. I don't understand it. Never happened like this before. I never had what I'm feeling other than what I told you. But there's something else going on inside of me. I just don't know what's going on. But I thank God for being merciful. I thank him. Thank him for peace. Thank him for you all. And I thank God for my wife and her absence. I think she's taking care of her mom. Her mom is not feeling well. And Kobe's developing a sty under his eye, one on the bottom, then it went to the top. And then the enemy came last night while I was sitting down there studying and reading. It's like I was trying to gag. I said, Lord Jesus. I said, the devil is a lie. So I had to jump back on him. I said, you hit me, I'm hitting back. You know, I rebuked the devil, told him to get off of me. I drank some water, that didn't do it, and I just kept on rebuking Satan. I said, Lord, you said you would rebuke the devourer for our sake. And we know that in this time that the devil is trying to wear us out. He's doing everything he can to distract us, mislead us. He's doing everything he can to get us off of what we're supposed to be doing. And that's continue on in the faith and also reaching out for the souls. I believe the Lord has given me a burden, a heavy burden. I say, Lord, it's just not, this is different what I'm feeling. I had to leave out of here a little while ago and just something heavy in my spirit. I don't understand the saints of God. So, yeah, I know I'm going to be all right, but my God, this is something new to me. This is something new. And I thank the Lord for being merciful. I thank God also for hearing my prayers, my cries. My auntie, she's 94. I was talking to my sister on the phone, and all of a sudden she went unresponsive. And I hear all the frantic, and I hang up, and I just began to cry out to God. Then I got a phone call and said she was doing fine. Today I'm going to go and visit her in the hospital. She's up in the hospital. But she's doing good. You know, I said she was dehydrated and low on some potassium or something like that. But God is good anyhow. I don't know about you all, but when I go through, I have to praise him. You know, if I don't praise God, I lose it. The enemy would take advantage of me. You know, he'd get down on me. He'll put his foot on my neck and break my neck. But I've learned when I'm going through that I can lift my hands. I know today is Palm Sunday. But here's the palm of my hand, Lord Jesus. I can lift up my hand and give you praise when I'm going through because I know that you are there with me. I know that I'm not alone. So I thank and praise God for lifting me up. I thank him for being the lifter of my head. I praise God this morning. This morning I'm going to try to, I'm just going to be up here just for a moment. I'm going to try to encourage you. And also, Lord, I've been saying it all week long. I have to pat myself on the back. I've got to encourage myself too. You know, when you encouraging people and people go on and they get encouraged and you look around, you like, what's going on with me? You know, ain't nobody called me. Ain't nobody said, it's going to be all right, Brother Abbas. Lord, I'm not looking for no pity party. You know, I can pat my own self on the back. I can get in the word and see what thus said the Lord. You know, something going to rise up in me that's going to cause me to go on and tell this devil where to go. You know, so you all pray with me, pray for me this morning. I'm going to be reading out of the book of Acts 27. And like I said, I know this is Palm Sunday. I tried to get something last night because I forgot one of the brothers I was talking to. Said, you know, Sunday, Palm Sunday. I said, oh, Lord, I ain't think about that. I said, but I'm going to try to get something for Palm Sunday. Couldn't get nothing wrestled. And the Lord said, go on what you got. Go on what you got. And what he told me was that we were saved by one man. Only by one man. That's it. We're saved by one man and nobody else. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, God, first of all, thanking you, Lord, for being my God. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful. I thank you, God, for giving me another opportunity, Lord. I do thank you, God, for new mercies on today, God. Thank you for this brand new day, Father, and I pray, Father God, that you will use me, Lord. Help me, God, to encourage somebody, God, out here in this audience, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. Now, Paul, we know when he got saved, before he was saved, we know the story about him, how he just ran through the church. I didn't read anything in his life that, you know, that was going on before he got saved. But when he got saved, he experienced some of the things and probably more than the things that the saints go through. Like I say, I'm treading on unfamiliar territories, and I believe he can say the same. He would say the same. He's treading on unfamiliar territories. He don't know what it's like for somebody to be after you, to kill you, you know, to be hidden, running on the run all the time, afraid when somebody's going to come to town not knowing what they're coming for. So when Paul got locked up, he was going through, he said he wanted to appeal and go stand before Caesar. And so I'm going to start reading at the first chapter. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul, named Julius, a centurion of Adramatium. I guess I'm hitting that right. We launched, meaning to Archytas, him, the Macedonian and of Thessalonica. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go until he had lunch from this. We sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycius. I guess I'm hitting those names right. Y'all forgive me for chopping them up. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us thereon. When I looked up these two names of these ships, the first ship that I can't pronounce, it meant the court of death. So when Paul and these prisoners got on this ship, they were on the court of death. And then when the centurion found this other ship, Alexandria, it represented that the ship was the defender of men. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Simonia, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, was the city of Lacy. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship and all, but also our lives. Nevertheless, the centurions believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, that we can fall into that category. You know, when God tell us to do something, we've got our own mind, or we decide to listen to our friends or somebody who we look up to, Pookie or our brother, our sister, somebody. You know, nevertheless, they began to listen to this man who owned the ship, speaking of that he know more about his ship more than anybody. Everything is going to be okay, y'all. We on this ship that's called the Defender of Men. It ain't never been sunk. It's okay. We're going to be okay. But Paul had stood up and admonished them, say, look, this voyage is going to be dangerous. Hazardous to the ship, to the cargo, even in our lives. But they went on anyway. I'm going to jump down to verse 14. But not long after those, after there arose against a temperance wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which was called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. That means, look, after they got out there, they can't turn around and come back. It's like when you get out there, when God tell you to do something, you're out there now. You too far out, you don't know how to get back. Now they got this lifeboat flying behind them. They trying to pull this lifeboat in, thinking that, okay, with the ship, something happened to the ship, we got a lifeline. We got a preserver. I want you to know when you're out there and you don't have Christ, you don't have no preserver. If you ain't got God in your life, ain't no need of throwing out the lifeline. You should have just listened to the word of God in the first place. So they in the storm, like some of us be, we get caught up in some things. And we wonder how we going to get back. What do I do? Who do I call on? They forgot all about the man of God on the boat. We forget all about the word sometimes. The word that came to us. We forget about what God say. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we get out sometimes and we get frustrated. We get let down. But we forget the word of God because our eyes are up on the problem, up on the situation that we're in. And we know that God is greater than any situation, any problem that we can ever get in. So they pulling this lifeboat in. They trying to get it in case something happened. Verse 17 said, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sails, and so we were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. You get out there sometimes, you start thinking about the things that you did. What I shouldn't have done. You start, Lord, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to stop doing that, Lord. Lord, I'm going to get rid of this weight that's in my life. That was a song I used to sing. And somebody heard me sing and said, I'm going to clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. You can't clean up what you messed up. You ain't got what it takes to clean you up. You can get rid of all the things that you want to get rid of, but it's still floating around. All that stuff still floating around the boat. It takes Jesus to clean you up. It takes the Lord himself to come down and deliver you and get you out of your mess. Because who the Son set free is free indeed. David said, look, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Purge me with hyssop. Renew a right spirit within me, God. So we can get rid of all we want to get rid of until we bow down and come to Jesus and say, Lord, you got to get this thing out of me. Lord, help me to get rid of this stuff. Help me to get rid of this lying spirit, God. God, help me to get rid of this cheating spirit, God. This deceiving spirit that's in me, God. Lord, I walked away from it, but the stuff keep following me, Lord. It's all around me. I need a deliverer in my life. But ain't but one man that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. Can't nobody else do it. Mama can't do it. Daddy can't do it. The preacher sure enough can't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Adam couldn't do it. Jesus, the only one that can do it. Jesus will set you free. Only if you believe him. Verse 20, and when neither the sun or the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest laid on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me. You know, sometimes somebody told me that you ought not to say, I told you so. Sometimes they need to hear, I told you so. Sometimes people need to hear that, look, I told you not to marry that girl. I told you not to marry that boy. I told you not to go down there fooling with them folk. Some people need to hear, I told you so. But sometimes we just want to pat him on the back. But if you don't just reiterate and look, didn't I tell you? Then Paul say, didn't I tell y'all not to loose some creek? I told y'all not to do it. But see, after all of you get in all of this stuff and you think things going to smooth out, it said, the Bible said, no small tempest laid on. That storm was beaten. It was tearing the ship up. They tie ropes. I don't know how they got ropes up under the ship to try to tie it together to keep it from falling apart. They did everything that they can do to keep the one who defends men together. But it didn't work. So they figure, well, ain't nothing else we can do. I felt like that so many times. Lord, ain't nothing else I can do. I felt like all hope was gone. All hope was lost. Until one day I just decide, Lord, I'm going to keep on going. How you say, Pastor? I'm going to keep going until I see what the end going to be. Sometimes I feel like you've done so much that there ain't no forgiveness for you. You know? You watch out who you be around. Watch out who you're getting your words from. Because had I not kept going, had I not kept contending for the faith that was once delivered to me, I would still be out there. But one day, I came and heard the word of God. And I heard the word of God said he will forgive all your sins and blot out all your transgressions. God will deliver you. God will keep you. It don't make no difference how far you get out there. All hope ain't gone. And then you got Paul. He went down there and he started fasting. He was praying for these guys. Ain't you glad that when you get in a fix that you got a mama, you got a grandmama, you got an auntie. And then you know what? It's always the mama, the grandmama, and it's always mostly the women that are laboring in prayer for their family. Almost all the women. You know, I had to throw some granddaddies, some uncles, some fathers. But ain't you glad when you get out there that you got somebody that's been fasting and praying? Somebody that when you come in their prayer, they'll speak life into you. They won't tell you all hope is gone, going on about your business. They keep encouraging you, say, come on, it's going to be all right. Ain't you glad that you got somebody that's always laboring in prayer, that's always laboring in the word, that's going to pat you on the back and say, yeah, you made a mistake, but that's okay. You can still move forward. You can go head on. You can be saved. God will forgive you. All hope is not lost. All hope is not lost. Long as Jesus is on the throne, long as Jesus is on the right hand of God, all hope ain't lost. Don't let the devil deceive you and let you believe that all hope is lost when you get in a quicksand, when you get in a fix. Jesus is there to pick you up, pull you out of that thing. But you got to, when he picked you up and pull you out, you got to run on. You can't stay there. You're going to sink again. You can't stay right there in the wind. You got to get, if Jesus gets you out of that storm, get away from the storm. Rest assured, going to be another one coming. So they thought all hope was gone. And Paul, he stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosened from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exalt you to be you but the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God had given. After Paul got through praying, the Lord hears him say, fear not, Paul. God told us, fear not. You know, fret not the evil grass and be withered as the green herb. Soon they gon' didn't I tell you that you was going to have to stand before Caesar? Then God told me that we're going to make it in. There is another side. I'm not trying to stay that I go through. I don't care what kind of storm that you go through. Fear not. Your son's going to be saved. Fear not. You're going to have that way. Fear not. A sound mind. If you got a sound mind, then you're going to always revert back to that word of God. It's going to keep you going on to what somebody said. It's going to keep you going on to what you're going. You got, Paul, you got to go to Italy. You got to stand before him. And all those, the 270, all of them going to be saved. All my children are going to be saved. All your children. not just to me, but to my children. Not just to them, but to my children's children. It belongs to them. All you got to do is believe that it belongs to you. So fear not. It depends on who's on the ship. They forgot the man of God was riding on him right now. He bore that cross. When I say the whole world, he carrying the whole world. So fear not. So I'm going to jump down to 29. Have fallen up on rocks. They cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the. After 14 days, they was in this storm. Sometimes you went through us, say, Lord, this too shall pass. Then I begin to change it. Lord, let this thing wish for the day, the Bible says. And that the shipmen were about to see under the color of, as though they were casting out the anchors. Bad. They pretending like they throwing the anchors out. But Paul seen them. You know, hey, get in. I'm close, Lord. I can get out now. No, we got to stay in to the end. Paul answered the soldier, except these abide in the ship. Ye. He didn't say him. So look, cut the anchors, cut the boat, get rid of God. You can't be saved. You ain't gonna make it no other kind of way. Ain't no other way. And he is the way. He's the only way. He is the truth and the life. Gee, heaven, there ain't no other way. Ain't no need of calling out a lifeline. Ain't no need of calling. All you got to do is call on the Lord. Call on the Lord and you'll get an answer. It's right here. Yourself. You can't stop if you do because it's yourself. The answer is to abide in the ship. If you abide in the ship, you're going to be saved. And the Bible tells us that, and they tried to kill Paul. Everybody jumped out the boat. When they got some on 43, the centurion willing to save Paul, kept them fed that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the. And those that don't know how to swim, you're going to be all right. Because the Bible said on boards, look, we ain't going to arrive on no broken pieces. The Bible tells us that not without harm, hurt, or danger. We might be going through right now, but we're still in a storm right now. We're still on a ship right now. But when all of this stuff is over, it's going to be worth every bit of it. It's going to be worth every bit of it. I don't think we're going to remember none of these. I'm looking for a new beginning. I'm looking for a new start. I'm looking for that eighth. And I know today is Palm Sunday. It means victory. That's what to the town. They was waving palms and throwing palms. They put them on, I guess it was the Cadillac of the transportation. I guess that represent the red carpet treatment. They didn't understand this day they were ushering them in. Saying, Hosanna to the Most High. Mean, save me. Preserve. Just give him that praise. Hosanna. Do anybody need to see this king today? Anybody need him high? Hosanna. We do thank God for saving us, for being the ship. We thank him. We thank God. Just thank him. Ain't no more that we can do but trust God. Say, so cut your lifeline. Get rid of them. Ain't no other way. All you got to do is just come as you are. The fixer. He'll fix it all back together for you. He did. Except you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. We were saved by this one man, this king, King Jesus. All to him I owe. I give him this one. Not David. Nobody could do it but Jesus. We thank him for his blood. This Calvary preached to us. I know we're going to get it. We need it. We need to be reminded. Lord, had not been for you on our side. Had not been for you shedding the blood. Cut up goats and rams and turtle doves and all of this stuff. Clean on the inside. Anybody need to be clean inside? Anybody need to be hyssop today? Saints of God, saved by one man. Abide in the ship and you will be saved. I'm going to turn it back to Pastor.